This is Trackside with Kirk Cavan and Kevin Lee. Brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Okay, I guess this is not a shocker right here, but Graham is going to replace Stefan in the car for us the rest of the week and coming Sunday. So that is our announcement. I guess we're all done.
First off, I think as everybody said, I certainly feel for Steph. I know how much he puts into this, you know, year in and year out to get the opportunity to be here. To see what happened to him is never good. And I know emotionally the roller coaster he's on right now. Unfortunately, I've just lived it as well. And I know that he'll be back, you know, really, really strong and better than ever. As I said yesterday, I told AC, you know, everything in life happens for a reason. When I got the call from Dennis yesterday afternoon, right away, I felt compelled that this was, for some reason, you know, my calling was to be here, to be able to help as best I could and to fill in. Clearly, this is Steph's ride. It's his seat. He's done a great job to get it to the point that it is, you know, and it was an honor for me to receive the call. So to Dennis, to Brett, to Don, everybody that made that happen, I certainly am very grateful.
Well, I think tonight we can start with the Circle City Raceway news of the day. We'll give you the details coming up of their racing calendar for the week. Dennis Reinbold said, well, it's not a surprise. By that he meant because he's standing or sitting right here next to me, but I think a surprise to quite a few. I got that one wrong. By the time I went to bed last night, I think I had figured it out that made a lot of sense, and it was confirmed today. Graham Rahal will go from a Honda for mostly his entire career, certainly since 2008, since he was in the Champ Car Series before, to driving a Chevy for the first time. He is the replacement in the Dreyer and Reinbold Cusick Motorsports number 24 Chevrolet after Stefan Wilson, unfortunately, was injured and unable to drive in this weekend's Indianapolis 500. Hello, welcome. It's Trackside on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Back in the studio, or a studio tonight, Eddie Garrison is in the proper studio downtown. Kurt Cavan, I'm Kevin Lee. Thank you for joining us at KevinLee23, at Kurt Cavan. If you have something for us on Twitter tonight, we'll talk about the Burger Bash a little later on. Thank you to all that came out. But big news for the day today, Kurt.
It was big. You know, we talked last night. We started throwing around some names after the Burger Bash last night. You threw out a couple names, and I debated them with you, and I drove away thinking, you know, Graham's the one that makes sense. He doesn't have to go through the refresher program. He's, you know, about the same size as Stefan, if such a person exists. He, you know, I know he's close with Ryan Hutter Ray. His dad is, you know, friends at least, known Dennis Reinbold a long time. I thought it made sense, but I still thought ultimately it would be J.R. Hildebrand. But Don Cusick made a big splash, and this is a, you know, the other thing is the connection that Graham has with the Wilson family. He drove with Justin Wilson, and yep. You know, that just, he said it just compelled me. It felt right. And so I don't know how all the other details worked out, but the more I think about it, the more I like it.
Well, in my reaction, and when we got the official news towards the end of the show last night that Stefan was going, it was confirmed that he was going to be unavailable. It's the same thing that I told people off the air earlier. But actually, our friend Mike Chappell, the dean of the Indianapolis Colts sports writers, texted me in the afternoon, and he's not a huge motorsport follower, but he said, hey, does this open up a path for Graham Rahal? And I said, no, unfortunately not. He's a Honda driver, and this is a Chevy car. So I had to text Chap back last night and said, you know, I think you actually might be right. But my reaction, saying Hildebrand and Sage Karam, was what a lot of people were saying. One, because they've driven for the Dreyer and Reinbold program recently. And by the way, Graham Rahal said in the press conference today, he had the same reaction, right? He said, I don't want to waste your time, Dennis, because this can't happen.
Yeah, I just couldn't see how it all fit together. You know, I could see how the sponsorships would work together. I could see how the relationships within the paddock, because one of the things that the outside paddock doesn't understand is how close everyone is ultimately. You know, and as I said, Dennis Reinbold and Bobby Rahal been friends for a long time, but they've been friends with other team owners too. So my point is that everybody works together in situations like this. I just didn't see how the Honda Chevy relationship could be, you know, or the dynamic would allow a driver as Honda as Graham Rahal has been to be sitting and learning from a Chevy. And same from Chevy's standpoint, letting a Honda driver come into their world. But, you know, as I said, everybody comes aboard for what's right with the sport and what's right for the Indy 500. And honestly, it's been working like that for a long time, but even more so maybe in the last, I don't know, 10 years. I think the Jay Fry administration has really fostered an environment of sharing and helping each other and working together. And I think this is an example of that.
So when I first heard, right after we finished the show tonight, last night, from a trusted source that they didn't say it was done, but just said Graham is a strong consideration. And then I thought through it and I said, you know what? Now I get it. And you start to think about it of how this can happen. And you get past the Honda versus Chevy thing for a few reasons. Yes, that is a significant hurdle to cross. But as you talked about, I think a lot of people in the paddock are open to the greater good, and that starts with Honda. David Salters and the people at HPD and Chuck Shifsky, yes, Graham is a trusted Honda representative, but I think they get it, that having Graham Rahal in the Indy 500 is good, and we don't want to necessarily stop that. So you start to think about how other things have happened before and, okay, maybe we can get past that. And then you get into, and I don't know that any convincing would have been needed. That might have simply been the end of it, is that, yeah, we're sorry that it didn't work out and you didn't make the race. So we're going to do what you need to do. But the other part of it from the team aspect, let's look from Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan, and them convincing Honda that we need to do this. And then from the team aspect, what's more important? The engine manufacturer relationship, how much are you getting from them to pay for your program compared to how much are you getting from United Rentals, Fifth Third Bank, Fleet Cost and Care, and the many, many other partners on that car? There's going to be an engine partner for you. You'd like it to be Honda because you have a long relationship with them. But having partners with the history that they have had with those others, those are harder to come by. And I think that's where you're going to Honda, if needed. And it may not have been needed. And just say, we've already decided we're not going to bounce someone from the car. That would be bad for everyone involved and not serve our purpose. But this is a different scenario. Someone is going to fill that seat. It's not Graham taking the seat from someone that earned their way into the race. Someone that did not qualify for the race is going to get it, and it should be us. The other side of that is how I thought this started to make sense and why I probably shouldn't have. And by the way, I should say that my source was not anyone from Cusick Motorsports. I think some would know that my son, Jackson, is a, quote, development driver for Cusick Motorsports. He was not considered, by the way. And that's somewhat just because we share some commercial partnerships to work on that. But I had traded texts with people within their group, and I didn't ask because that's not a reporter situation. And Don texted me this morning, and I said, I'm fine. I told him what my guess was, and I said, I'll find out at 10 a.m. like everyone else. But that wasn't my source. But then I did start to think about the Cusick side of things. So you've got the Dennis Reinbold side, and he's going to have a lot of say. But for Don, he has a lot of commercial partners on this car, and now he needs to make the best of it. And then I started thinking about what drivers will get you the most attention for the Indianapolis 500. Is it Sage Karam? Is it J.R. Hildebrand? We love those guys, and we think they would do a fantastic job, and they would get some attention because it's a replacement driver, but But Graham Rahal becomes a different story. And honestly, I wondered, I didn't ask him, I haven't talked to him about this because I don't want him to, because he'd tell me the truth and I don't want to have to hide anything. But I wondered about James Hinchcliffe, that he's someone that would get you a lot of attention. But back to what you said, Graham not only made sense commercially, they can potentially work out a financial deal to bring some of those partners over. And yes, it may still be Carekeepers and Lola Sport and Fizzy Bees and all the others, but you're going to see United, Reynolds, Fifth Third Bank, and Fleet Cost and Care on that car in some fashion. So all of that together is what makes sense. And then what you touched on, the others needed a refresher course. Haven't been in a car this year. Even JR, who he alluded to today, he had a few opportunities to be in the race. And there were some conversations in the paddock, we think. But it's simple plug and play, even if it is from Honda to Chevy for Graham Rahal.
You mentioned Honda giving the approval. I see it as much curious how Chevy thought about it, too. Again, allowing a Honda, you know, person, if you will, into their world to see the behind the scenes, to see how they do things. And I don't know how much a driver can learn, but Graham is not just any driver. He's somebody who's very experienced, who's got a lot of smarts and a lot of savviness, and he's experienced a lot. So I think, you know, having Chevy approve a Honda driver was as much to me as Honda letting its driver go elsewhere, because there are some benefits for Honda potentially if Graham picks up something, you know, along the way. True. So that's interesting. The other thing I would say, and I didn't really kind of get to this, I wrote a story after qualifying when Graham got bumped, and I talked about how, you know, it was along the lines of Bobby Rahal missing the field in 93, Team Penske missing the field in 95, which, by the way, is the topper of all toppers, even with Fernando Alonso missing in 2019. But Hinchcliffe also in 2018. All those stories, Graham fits alongside of those. But I would argue that Graham Rahal might be the biggest name in this sport right now across mainstream America. He is a Rahal. He is well-spoken. He's something everyone kind of identifies with if you just tune in. I'm not sure. Elio Castroneves is huge, obviously, but a Rahal is pretty strong too. And he's certainly in that very, very short list of drivers that name value that you won in the Indy 500. So I think everybody kind of got it.
He's up there. Elio is, I think I'd still rate him higher as a four-time winner and a Dancing with the Stars winner that he kind of crosses over. But the Rahal name matters, and Graham is on a lot of outlets because he's a great interview. He's interesting. He'll say what he wants to say. So that has helped his cause. You know, Kanaan, but is that more in our world? I don't know.
That's more in our world. More in our
probably,
world.
Probably. And then after that, Grosjean,
because of the
Formula One.
I used to think
Marco's still up there. Marco's still up there.
But, you know, we get the question a lot, and we'll probably get it between now and Sunday. Which driver winning the Indianapolis 500 would do the most for the sport in terms of publicity across all platforms, if it can reach all platforms? And Elio winning five would be huge, obviously, but most people outside of our world don't know the significance of a four-time winner. But again, a legacy driver like Marco or Graham is always right there near the top of the list, and this would be as well.
I've said it's Graham for the last 10 years probably, and I've always said it's Graham more than Marco, even though the first headline of an Andretti winning the Indy 500 would get more attention. That would get you more coverage on Monday morning in newspapers and move up higher in SportsCenter. But the longer lasting effect, I think Graham does more for you because Marco doesn't particularly like the interview circuit. He'll do it, and he's a wonderful person, and he's friendly, but that's not his thing. Graham likes to talk, and Graham is good at it. And IndyCar PR has been criticized over the years as to, well, why isn't the Indy 500 winner in all these outlets? Well, because they don't get to decide that. It's producers, it's bookers that look at other interviews and may say, yeah, this guy's not very interesting. I can't do a lot with him. They're going to look at a Graham Rahal interview and they're going to say, ooh, he's the Indy 500 winner. He has opinions. He's glib. He's quick. He's married to a beautiful woman who drove race cars over 300 miles per hour as well, whose dad is John Force. He's a story. Graham Rahal will give you the most lasting coverage winning the Indy 500. It was an easy decision when he was in the middle of his career. You know, as he maybe comes closer towards the end, not as much, but I still say it's Graham Rahal.
Well, he's also well-rounded. You know, he's a football fan. He's a golfer.
He can do any show. Yeah.
He really can do any show. He's a golfer. He's a Ducati motorcycle franchise owner. You know, I just did a story and I really appreciate that this was one of the better stories I've written all month. It is a story about businessmen among the drivers and what they are doing to kind of help set their future up financially. And Graham, he runs circles around the rest of the field in terms of his productivity off the racetrack. I once heard him say, he probably wouldn't like this repeated, but I heard him say one time in front of some reporters that he makes five times the money off the track than he does driving a race car, just because his dealerships and his Graham Rahal performance products, automotive products, have done so well. He's building this beautiful facility out there in Zionsville next to the race team. He has just worked it and done so well off the track. And he said, look, my mentor was my father, who still owns like 14 car dealerships and has done, he thought, as well as anybody from that generation in terms of being a businessman. So the point is, Graham's very well-rounded. And you mentioned, you know, having Bobby Rahal as a father and John Force as a father-in-law, he's a dad and he's a husband and he's got two cute little girls. He would be great on the circuit for all types of reasons. And he could be an Indianapolis 500 winner. Now we're putting it way ahead of the horse, way up ahead of the cart here, but yeah, the point is you needed him in the Indy 500.
Yeah. That was just when the question came up, who does the most chances of that happening? You know, they're not strong when he's in a car that had a go-kart engine yesterday. So the car has been on the track before. What did I see? I wish maybe I did a screenshot.
I got it right
of that.
Here, Kevin. I got it here.
The Orioles Serbia car from 12?
That's right. David Land tweeted out. That's where I saw it. It may have came elsewhere. That Orioles Serbia finished fourth with this car in 2012. Is that unbelievable?
Well, and there are cars from that era that we've heard are still in use. There are a few, and well, this one wasn't in use, but it is now, and there's been no change. You just have to do the update kits every time, and it was prepared. It's not like they had to go and convert this. Dryan Reinbold, as we have said, does things well, and I'm sure they had one car that was ready. They had two cars, so they knew there was always a chance that one of them crashes. So maybe they didn't love on it, as we like to say, as much as the others, but I bet it has a good fit. Is it good enough? We shall see, and there are always things with that. So that's a big unknown. This is the biggest carb day that we've seen in a while. It's happened before where people have crashed on Monday, and they get back out and put a car together for Friday. But certainly crashing on Monday is a lot better than crashing on Friday, like we saw last year with Colton Herta. And his car on race day was just evil. It was not the same car that he had before. I want to speak on Stephen Wilson. So we don't have anything officially new on what's going on there, other than, you know, we've seen some tweets from Don Cusick. And it was great to see a video from Steph today with a smile on his face. You know, he's sitting in a hospital bed, so we don't really know what things are. The Indianapolis Star had a story today talking with Dr. David Schwartz, who would have some information on, because when we see that he's fractured his 12th thoracic vertebrae, we have no idea, or at least I have no idea what that means. And the quote was, the doctor knew that that injury could be very bad, or it could be something very minor. So we have a wide array of possibilities, and we certainly will hope for very minor. He says, just knowing T12 without what kind of fracture it is, there are different degrees of fractures. It could be anything from extremely minor, where sometimes we don't do anything for it, not even a brace, or somebody we put a brace on, to someone who has surgery, to someone is paralyzed. And we have no, by the way, reason to believe that there is any concern with that. From what Dr. Visor said, what was the quote? No serious issues.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That makes me feel like he had the use of all of his extremities. I feel, and you just have to deal with this, I feel for the doctor, because there are things that you are supposed to say and not supposed to say at that point. So you have to choose your words carefully. And I'm sure she did, but that leaves me with a lot of optimism when she says no serious issues at that point. That the 12th thoracic vertebrae is the 12th located just before the lower lumbar spine starts. So kind of the back of your chest kind of area. So that's where that is, and we are hoping for the best for Stefan, and hope to see him back at the racetrack very, very soon. The things that Graham talked about today and the connections. One story I found really interesting is he said that Justin, we knew that they were teammates I guess that would have been in 2008 when they got to IndyCar for a little while with Newman Haas and others. But he said it was before they were teammates, when he was running Atlantics, and he said somehow we were put into an autograph session with Champ Car, and I was seated next to Justin Wilson in 2006. And he said at that time, you know, he's probably what, 16, 17 years old. He's thinking about Formula One. And he said it was Justin that kind of talked him out of that. Justin told him he didn't have the right filter for Formula One. Even at 16 years old, you're not allowed to speak your mind the way Graham Rahal does if you want to survive in Formula One.
Yeah.
So he said he stopped thinking about it.
Yeah, that was good advice, wasn't it? But I think, you know, sometimes Graham doesn't have the right filter for this sport.
So, no, he's got the perfect filter. We want honesty.
I'm kidding, but it just feels right. You know, it just feels right. And I think it was last night at the Burger Bash. I've chatted with a few people since this crash happened. But I just wanted people to understand this is not buying a ride, you know. And I think most of the people that listen to this show on a regular basis get that. But when Graham said, I want to be able to earn my way to the Indy 500, this is a different scenario. This is helping out a team, helping out your sponsors, helping out a friend. Go down through the list. Yes, it helps Graham too, but this is a different scenario. And again, I think most of our listeners understand that, but there are people driving around Indianapolis that may think otherwise. So I just want to make that point clear.
Totally agree. I see nothing that reflects poorly on anyone for this. Someone was going to fill the seat, and he was the best available option. In my opinion, other people can disagree with that. And I say that thinking extremely highly of J.R. Hildebrand. But even J.R. had a very gracious tweet today basically saying, yeah, I would have loved to have done this as well, but I understand it. And in motorsport, unfortunately, the financials are part of it. And there is a financial package associated with Graham Rahal that they're probably is not. If there was with JR, he would have already had a seat, because he's certainly capable of running up front.
Hey, look, there's no question JR Hildebrand is an outstanding race car driver, but we go up and down through the paddock and statistics support this. There isn't many drivers better in race conditions than Graham Rahal. He might have been the best available, even if he wasn't available, if you know what I mean. He's outstanding in passing cars and moving up through the field and protecting his equipment and on down the list. This is one of the best race car drivers of his generation. Now, does he have the results? No, but that's not all on him. Their qualifying and his qualifying, if you look at just qualifying, has not been stellar, but he races as well as anyone. And so this was a great choice in that respect. I think it's also interesting that he's going to be in this race because of the rules that say a replacement driver starts at the back of the field. He'll line up next to the gentleman who bumped him from the field in Jack Harvey. Graham's quote was perfect. He said, Jack hasn't gotten rid of me yet. And so they'll start together. And of course, Christian Lundgaard and Catherine Legg, the other drivers at Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing, will be racing against him early in this race. And that will be a little dogfight within the dogfight. So that'll be fun to watch.
And Christian Lundgaard now gets out of the last row party, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right?
He does. Yeah.
So Graham is in that. Tim May, a longtime Columbus, Ohio sports writer, asked Graham about the irony of it was your teammate Catherine Legg that knocked out Stephen Wilson to open up a spot. And Graham, leave it to the Columbus guy to come up with that there. As far as we know, that the Catherine Legg car is going to be – I haven't seen anything new on that, but last we heard yesterday, that car will be repaired and they will be ready to go. She doesn't – whether she replaced the car or not, she wouldn't have to give up the spot, right?
That's correct. The the rules changed, I don't know, probably 12 years ago. Yeah, at least 10 or 12 years ago, because, you know, you're going to lose a car from time to time after you qualify it, and replacing the car – that wasn't what the fans show up to watch the driver in the fifth row, so to speak. You know what I mean? They follow the driver. And if you have to change the car, largely the cars are, you know, maybe not to us, but to the average person, the car is a car. So they didn't want to punish the drivers.
Well, I remember the reason stated for this is that the rules changed because back in the day, you could qualify the thing one time and you're done. And the rules changed that required you to qualify more than one time in some circumstances. There's back to a scenario now that if you qualify, for example, R.C. Enerson was one of those. One run, good enough, they're done. But then they've added a Monday practice again. So you're just on track more than you were afterwards. It was a one-hour carb day practice after you were qualifying, and they would run. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why we see more activity, I think, on carb day, because you used to just simply make sure that the new engine didn't leak, everything is good, run 15 laps, maybe less, and put it away. Now we see more activity in a two-hour practice, because if the worst happens and you crash the car, you're not going to lose your sixth place starting position. So I think that's an added benefit of all of that. So that's certainly the big news of the day, and that's our Circle City Raceway news of the day. Maine Indianapolis means racing, including big-time racing on the dirt at Circle City Raceway on their all-new clay surface. Coming up, we've got – oh, I've got the wrong read, Kurt. We're going to do this after the break. I've got last week. I can't tell you what's happening May 19th, so we'll do that coming up next.
This is Trackside, brought to you by Luxair Premium Residential Systems, a smart choice in home comfort, on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Well, I know he didn't write this song, but he made it relevant for race fans along with producers back in the day at ABC, and I got to visit with Paul Page. I saw him in the pits over the weekend a little bit, so always great to see Paul, who was doing fantastic. He'll be on the Indy 500 broadcast coming up on Sunday here on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan, and 93 WIBC live in Indianapolis. Radio, by the way, if you go to the race, is the best way to have the least amount of delay. Just an old-fashioned Walkman or whatever you have. That's maybe 7 seconds. Maybe they remember to take it out of delay, which I think generally is the idea, and then it's maybe a second or two. If you listen on the app, you're probably going to get a 30-second to a minute delay in that regard. Scanner is the other option. If you can get a scanner, you can find the radio broadcast. I think it's 454.000. That's published out there. So just tip made me think of that. Oh, by the way, Wednesday, it's the USAC AMSOIL Sprint Car National Championship with 410 Sprints and Dirt Car UMP Modifieds. Thursday, USAC AMSOIL Sprint Car National Championships continue along with the USAC Midwest Thunder Speed 2 Midgets. Kids 12 and under are free. Military first responders, veterans, seniors, teachers discounted at Circle City Raceway at the Marion County Fairgrounds, circlecityraceway.com. Twitter.com. I'm going to try to answer some Twitter questions, unless you had something else you need to jump in with, Kurt.
No, did you say, I don't think you said this, but did you say Paul Page didn't write Delta Force?
No, I don't think he wrote the song. Did he?
Oh, not the song. Okay, he wrote the intro. Yeah.
He wrote those intros, yes. No, we were hearing the song, which is what, from an old Chuck Norris movie or something? I'm not familiar with this song in any fashion other than the open to Indianapolis 500 broadcast, the tease.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the theme from a movie or something that, you know, from the 70s that I'm not familiar with, or the 80s or whatever. Yeah.
Because I know he was he's extremely proud, as you know, of the writing he did for the intros to the Indy 500.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. They would
and
get
he should
the pictures.
Be. And he should be.
I can't remember the order, whether he would write first and then they would put the pictures, or they might have put pictures and then he would write to it. That sounds more likely, of the highlights that they wanted to show. And, you know, I'm sure that they worked together on that. Okay, this is kind of going back to some stuff for qualifying over the weekend. Yeah, one of the questions people have asked, like Dale Jacobson, who's going to be let go from the organization after this weekend's qualifying disaster, a lot of things like that. So here's the thing, you know, and I saw someone else really wanted, they thought Bobby Rahal, when I asked him what happened, should have had an answer for that. Well, no, if he had an answer, it would have been fixed. And they didn't understand why he didn't, you know, he wasn't more actively involved. You're Bobby Rahal. You've hired people to do their job. His job is no longer engineering or strategizing on the race car. His job is to be Bobby Rahal and help fund those race cars and make big picture decisions and put people in those places. And ultimately, no, if they knew why they were slower, they would fix it. And they didn't get slower, because that's kind of one of the things I asked him is, wait a minute, you won the 500. You could have won it a couple of years ago. And kind of looking at the speeds, same car, it's that the others have figured out ways to keep getting better. And unfortunately, they haven't. So that's kind of why it's back to the drawing board. And to the question that I just talked about, I'm sure there are big internal conversations just trying to figure this out. It'd be one thing if it was one car that was slow, but all of them. So that's why I don't think it's the chassis, even though they were prepared to go ahead and change the chassis. They tried gearboxes. Graham told me he doesn't even think it's necessarily an aero thing. It may be, you know, a bit bigger about how they're finding mechanical grip and all of that. So that's one of the stories. Other question from Adam, why not get dry ice, put in radiators and use blowers to cool the engine? You're not allowed to do that. Did they try to fix his weight jacker? No, you're not allowed to. There are certain things that you're allowed to do in that qualifying attempt, wing adjustments, tire pressures, things like that. So if something breaks, that's why we talk about how important it is to avoid that last chance qualifying, because if something breaks, even if it could be fixed, you are not allowed to touch it. So no, they could not do anything.
Kevin, there's not many times when I have to hit the mute button because I'm laughing so hard. This is the Kevin Lee quote of the night. His job is to be Bobby Rahal. We need a button for that that says, my job is to be Bobby Rahal. That was
But isn't
good.
That right?
No,
isn't
no, no. Right? It was perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you know Bobby Rahal and you know how he carries himself, my job is to be Bobby Rahal. And that was beautiful.
And I wasn't even getting deep like that. I'm just saying he is a brand. He is, you know, and luckily Graham is a brand as well that helps sell the team. But that team, just like AJ Foyt Racing, AJ Foyt's job is to be AJ Foyt. Mario Andretti's job with Andretti Autosport is to be Mario Andretti. That's how he helps the program. Michael does a little bit more than just be Michael Andretti. Michael is a little more actively involved in a lot of things. But he's also, 10 or 15 years younger than Bobby is. Bobby's in his late 60s. He should be able to sit on the golf cart and hopefully enjoy things.
I think he's 70, by the way.
He's a very young 70, but he's 70 years old. Why wouldn't Rahal have gone out for the last run and clinched his spot? Well, he's out of time. And The only way you could make another run is you had to pull your time, which, by the way, I like. And maybe if we have time, we'll get to that. I'm still not sure about the Saturday format. There's a lot of inconsequential runs during the day, and I understand why we don't want to make them pull all their times, because the fear would be that nothing happens on track and they just sit there. But I think I'm to the point where I would rather see some of that and make each run mean something, because they all run together when everybody's running two or three or four times. Either there needs to be a max number of attempts, so you at least have to do a little bit of strategy on it, like how many times can you visit the mound if you're the pitching coach before you have to take the pitcher out. There are limits on those kinds of things. And I think we could still provide an entertaining broadcast if we had a stretch without cars on the track, because I'll say this, I had stories we wanted to tell that we just didn't feel like we could really break away from a qualifying attempt. So I waited for a half hour and I had AJ in there, and we couldn't get that on for a while. We eventually did ahead of the Santino interview, but wanted to tell that story, wanted to talk about the fact that a big name like Graham Rahal was in big, big trouble. And it's just difficult to get those in. I think we could learn more personalities if we had a little time. So I don't even, you know, at one point I thought, well, let's just shorten the Saturday qualifying, but I don't think we need to do that. I think we can tell stories in the hour and a half we might have of nothing happen in the middle of the day. So that's just a little side diatribe.
No.
Any thoughts on that?
No, you're right about that. I'll just say this. I don't remember any qualifying day. I'm sure they've happened, but there have been very, very few qualifying days in my 37 years of doing this where the track conditions were consistent from 11 a.m. until 5:50 p.m. It was the same all day, so there was no waiting on weather. Normally, you're going to go through a hot spell through the day where no one's going to run because it's not worth your time, or the wind has picked up, or the track is damp, and Kevin Lee and the fellows on TV will tell stories for 2 hours with nothing to do.
So back to the question, why didn't Rahal go out for the last run? Yeah, that's because by the time he was bumped, they were out of time. Others asked, why didn't Jack go out earlier? Well, that was the plan. That run, so they went out first, and luckily I got a tip from someone giving me that, and I passed it along to Steve Letarte as well to talk to say, hey, be aware, they may run out slow just to cool the engine, and that's allowed if you're outside of the 33. And then the idea was, if it's a teammate we're going to bump, we want the teammate to have time to react. So that's why Harvey went out with 8 minutes left or whatever. And then when he failed, all logic said he's not going to go any faster, but credit to the team for letting it play out. They could have stalled him. You know, Bobby Rahal could have gone down there and said, tell him we cannot go any faster. We don't want to hurt you. Unfortunately, we didn't make it. He didn't do that. He stayed out of the way. He let it play out. Each car worked to the best of their ability, and it decided who was the best. And the other questions I've had from several is, everybody talked about heat soak. How did it go faster? Everyone is asking that question. I don't know. They obviously made the car better. It's not like it's horribly worse, but it's going to be, what, a half a percent, a percent, something like that. So they had to make the car significantly better for him to go just slightly faster that last run. But it was just the worst case scenario for Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there was something to the crew's call to Jack to make an adjustment in the car on lap three. There was that seemed to pick up. Your colleagues noted that very quickly, and I think that made a difference.
Some questions. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people were tweeting about, hey, why haven't we seen any crashes? So we won't mention those names. That did not age well over the weekend, but it had been ironic, and I was reluctant to bring that up because I didn't want to be the one to jinx that, but we did make it all the way through Monday. Ryan Day, Moose for Trackside. Fastest non-Ganassi Honda, Kyle Kirkwood in 15th. Seen lots of races where Chevy's effort is just Penske with these others. Does that apply for Honda this 500? Do any of the other Honda teams beyond Ganassi have more than a puncher's chance?
Hmm. You know, you'd have to think an Andretti would have a puncher's chance, but
I haven't broken it down yet. But I don't know that I'm going to put an Andretti car. I don't know that I'm putting one in the top two tiers.
I agree. No question. Yeah, I'm looking. Well, I can't. It's very difficult to find somebody that's non-Ganassi that I think can seriously you know, you can't rule out Elio Castroneves. Honestly, you can't. Pagano the same way. You just can't rule them out. They have too much experience. You know, you put Elio was in this car 2 years ago and pulled it out. You know, you get him in the last segment of the race, you know, in that lead two or three, he's got a shot.
I also want to talk to people, too, because I know Kyle liked his car in race configuration. So, you know, after I talk to him, he might be able to convince me that he's got a real chance. He's in my section. Colton is another one that I would be curious what he thinks about his race car, whether that is a real possibility. Brian Taylor asks, if hypothetically Catherine Legg's car was not repairable, could she take Graham Rahal's bumped car, or are there restrictions on that car since it posted a time? No, I don't think she could take that car because it was entered. So they would have to take another car from the Rahal stable.
And my guess is they have one.
Yes. John asked, do you think Ryan Hunter Ray has a picture of him at the Burger Bash last night, knew when he was there? Yeah, I think he did. I think he knew of the possibilities. I don't think it was done at that time. I don't think it got done until later last night, but I'm sure he, you know, being close to Graham and the team talking, and I'm sure he knew what the possibilities were. John also has a picture of me with Dr. Kelvin Lee and you on the stage, and he says, next year invite Snoop Dogg and you'll have Kevin, Kevin, Calvin, and Kelvin. Calvin is Snoop Dogg's name? I believe it is.
I guess it is.
Scott Cooper, as Ryan Briscoe did in 15 replacing Hinch, will Graham get a private session on Thursday to shake down the car? No, he won't. And Briscoe had not been on track before. So if it had been J.R. Hildebrand or Sage Karam or anyone else, they would have had to have a private session for going through the rookie refresher session, correct?
Correct. They would not have put him out there in the midst of the practice session on carb day.
Okay, we'll see if we can sneak more in a moment and see what we've missed next on Trackside.
Hi, this is Graham Rahal, and you're listening to Trackside on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Final segment, Kurt, what have we missed?
I think the only thing I would add to the Graham story, and we've covered it pretty well here, is that he gets to bring his Rahal Letterman Lanigan spotter, Clay Filson, which will be a help to him. The only thing he really needs to learn is engine mapping and the steering wheel, which will be different. He can't bring that with him from the Rahal team. He's got a lot of learning to do in a short period of time, but he's pretty good, so I like his chances.
Will Shunk says, the presser this AM said there are not many drivers on the short list to step in. If it happened with different drivers and Catherine Legg was not a 500 qualified driver, would a 10-year removed Legg be considered on the short list in 2023 to fill in?
Hard to say.
I think that'd be discouraged. Those conversations come up, and I don't think a team would be likely to choose someone who has not been in a car for 10 years.
I think
depending on who the driver is, could be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this circumstance, I think Hildebrand would have been the perfect choice for a lot of situations. It's just Graham was there as the alternate.
All right, out of time. We will talk again tomorrow night at 7:00. Up next, more on the history of the Indianapolis 500 with Mike Thompson and Jake Query. Beyond the Bricks is next. Thanks to Eddie Garrison in the studio. Podcast up in just a little bit on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.